Good morning. This is the Blessings of Liberty. The Bible says in Leviticus 25 and verse number 10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And we hope you're having a safe, warm morning wherever you may be. Last week, I started to start a series of lessons on the subject of civil government in America and talking about from a scriptural standpoint, I assume most everybody knows a little bit about American history, but we're going to look at civil government and American history from a scriptural standpoint, a historical approach with a present-day application. And I'm going to use that same outline every week. First of all, start out with a scriptural principle, then a historical precedent. Give an example from history or where a certain teaching comes from. Where our laws come from, where the Constitution comes from, and then a present application. I'm using the Bible, of course, and a little book I've come across in the past. I know I've had it more than a year now, but a little book called The 5,000 Year Leap. And I've been looking into ordering some of these, and I think if I order a whole bunch of them, I can get a pretty substantial discount, probably about half.
Buy in bulk.
Yeah, buy in bulk. So I'm looking into that, and to making an initial order, and I think if I'd done that, we could probably get these into the hands of those that would like to have one. But it's a great book. It's not a book you'd find in the Christian bookstore, but it is based on Scripture, and it is an accurate picture of the history of the United States of America. So we're going to be using that sort of as an outline. And so first of all, I want to start out today with the scriptural principle. And I was actually thinking about preaching on this last Sunday. Worked out. I didn't preach on anything because we didn't have church. But I was looking and studying a passage of scripture in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1, where the Bible says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And the Bible has a built-in dictionary in it. Many, many places you'll find that it explains the word in the context. And that's what we find here in Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. That word liberty, if you look it up, it means freedom. But it goes on and it says, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Liberty makes us free. Freedom is liberty. This is the blessings of liberty, the blessings of freedom that we have in this country, which are unique to any country in the world. I lived in the country of England for 3 years. It's a socialist country. It was then. It's more so today. And you can live in the country of England. There are people over there that are happy, and they have businesses, and they go to school. And, you know, at first it looks like their society is a whole lot like ours. But if you live there for a while, you'll find out there's a lot of differences between the way they live and the way that we live. They do not have the freedoms that we have. If I would have been able over there to have, for example, a firearm, harder than getting something through Congress, an act of Congress. That's what I was trying to think of. You know, it was just such a headache to even have a shotgun. For example, I was in the Air Force. You could be a member of the Rod and Gun Club, but you couldn't have a gun. You know, if you did have one, like I said, it was an act of Congress. You had to leave it with the armorer on base. And if you went to use it, you'd have to go and check it out. Go use it. Go shoot skeet or whatever. That's about the only thing you could do. And then you'd have to bring it back and leave it there. Not the freedoms that we have. You'd never go into a store over there and find a display. You'd never go into a store and find a display of where they had or sold firearms. I think in all the time I was there, I seen one shotgun in a little old hardware store in a small town, and I think it was just there for display. But the reason I remember that, because it was odd to see anything like that. But they're socialist country. They're different from our country. They don't have the freedoms that we have in our country. So the scriptural principle, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And the context there, I don't want to take the scripture out of its context. Paul is writing to the Galatian Christians, and he's warning them about getting caught back up in the law of Moses that they had been made free from in the religious works. He was telling them to be sure and remember that they did not have to go to the temple. They didn't have to make the sacrifices. They had been set free from that Old Testament Mosaic law and all the religious ceremony that was wrapped up in that. And they were trying to put themselves back under the law, and Paul was reminding them they'd been set free from that, not to get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But the principle, now that's the context of it, but the principle there that we find, the scriptural principle, is that once we have freedom, we need to be careful that we maintain freedom and not give it up. The warning there is to not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That word entangled means to be intertwined, to be braided together. Yesterday, my wife and my daughter, they spent some time braiding each other's hair, and it didn't happen in 30 seconds. They sat down. It took them a long time to do that, and they were messing with that. And when I thought about it, you know, I thought about being entangled is something to be intertwined. It doesn't happen all of a sudden, but it happens little by little, layer by layer, piece by piece. And in America, we have not lost our freedoms all in a day or a year or a decade, but we have lost our freedoms little by little over the years, down through time, here little, there little, and we are in a state in America where we're losing freedom, not gaining freedom. We have a federal government that is so large and so intrusive into our lives that there's no part of life that government does not touch or attempt to control in some form or fashion. And Dave's in here, of course, Noah's in here. You know, I was trying to think this morning, is there any part of life that government does not touch that y'all can think of? They're thinking. I know you.
They can't control your dreams.
They can't control your dreams. That's one part of life, but yeah. Neither can you.
Well, that's true.
So, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good point.
But anyway, you know, I was thinking about it. Anything you want to do, anything.
They control the radio station.
They definitely control the radio station. In fact, I just started another radio broadcast on another radio station, on a Christian radio station. It's called the Old Paths Broadcast. And they sent me paperwork, and I'd been on the radio before years ago. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe what I had to fill out and the information I had to give, not to the radio station, but for the FCC. And the reason I had to give it to the FCC is because it was government mandated. They wanted name, address, you know, all this stuff on file for the FCC, which is government control. They control the radio. They control the airwaves. They control, if you want to get married, you have to get permission from the government. If you want to drive a car, you have to get permission. If you want to build a house, you have to get permission. Anybody that wants to have any type of business or idea, there's permits to apply for. Government is so big, it touches every area of our life. The air that we breathe,
your funeral,
food that we eat, your funeral.
Your birth.
You know, gone are the days of a child becomes 13, 14, 16 years old and wants to get a job and has to go get a Social Security number. You're assigned a number before you even leave the hospital. And that's the society that we live in. Little by little, government has gotten so big, it touches every area of our life. It attempts to control and delve into every area of our lives. And as a Christian, if we do not stand fast in the liberty that we do have, we will lose our liberty. And liberty once lost is usually forever lost and never gotten back. So there's a scriptural principle. And I'll read that once again. That's our thought for today that we're trying to get out there. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Appreciate your freedom and do not willingly put yourself back under the yoke of bondage. Do not give up your freedom. Do not get braided in again into the yoke of bondage. That's what the Word of God is telling us today. But there's a historical precedent as well. I want to share some things with you. I started to share this last week, but I was running out of time and didn't get to do a very good job at it. But I wanted to give five reasons as to why we're losing liberty in America. And I gave this last week, but number one, we have not followed the admonition of our founding fathers. A people must from time to time refresh themselves at the wellspring of their origin, lest they perish. And what we find today in America is that we have a whole generation of Americans that really don't even understand the why of America. Why are we here? Who are we? Where did we come from? Why did we come here? Just don't even understand. Don't have a good understanding of our basic history. It is not taught like it was once upon a time. And so that was an old adage I'm quoting from that our founding forefathers were aware of. A people must from time to time refresh themselves at the wellspring of their origin, lest they perish. If we do not understand our foundations, and even that's a biblical principle as well. It's found in the book of Proverbs. If the foundations be destroyed, what can be done? That's not an exact quotation, but there's if you destroy the foundation of a building, the rest of it's worthless. You have to have the good foundation, and so that's what that's talking about. I mentioned that last week. Second of all, I mentioned this, we have not assigned the maintaining of our freedom a high priority. And this is a quotation from the Massachusetts Bill of Rights from 1780. It says, a frequent recurrence to the fundamental principles of the Constitution and a constant adherence to those of piety, justice, moderation, temperance, industry, and frugality are absolutely necessary to preserve the advantage of liberty and to maintain a free government. So what the Massachusetts Bill of Rights is saying there is that we need to frequently make sure that we have these things and are reminded of our fundamental principles of the Constitution. And what that means there is what that's talking about. Once upon a time, and I wish I could have found it this morning, but a friend of mine found an old history book from the late 1800s, and he brought it to me, and I was looking at it. He'd read the whole thing, but it was as thick as, you know, a couple of inches thick, little small book there, but it was from the late 1800s, and you talk about in-depth American history. It went all the way back to the Mayflower. It went back to the founding of Jamestown. It discussed in depth the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the founding fathers, George Washington, Patrick Henry. I mean, a whole book. That was their American history book. Once upon a time, it was impressed upon the young people of our country the principles of freedom, and the Constitution was taught. And nowadays, what you find, what I've found as I've looked in modern-day history books, is it is downplayed. It is looked over. It's brushed under. It's mentioned. And many times it's mentioned even in a bad light. So, second of all, we have not assigned the maintaining of our freedom a high priority. Once upon a time, this was taught in the schools. Once upon a time, lawyers, in order to be a lawyer in this country, you had to have an understanding. You had to study the Bible. Abraham Lincoln was a lawyer. He studied the Bible. They studied constitutional law. Now, they do not study the Bible, and they study case law. And there's a big difference between the two. Constitutional law studies the Constitution, which is based on the Bible, and this is where we get our laws from. Case law studies cases, decisions that courts have made about the Constitution, how they interpret and change the meaning of the Constitution. There's a difference between studying constitutional law and case law, but that's where we're at in our country. Thirdly, today, we have allowed the mortal enemies of freedom to dominate the debate. This is a letter from George Washington to Lafayette in 1788. He said, "Though, when a people shall have become incapable of governing themselves and fit for a master, it is of little consequence from what quarter it comes." And so it says there, third of all, we have allowed the mortal enemies of freedom to dominate the debate and the institutions of government, higher education, all the way down through the local level, through the teachers' unions and the NEA, National Education Association, which is a government arm, an arm of the government, a branch of the government, almost, not a branch, but definitely a part of the government. But government, education, entertainment, even the press, which is supposed to be free and supposed to be unbiased, but even the press, even the media, is all been infiltrated and is now pretty much dominated by anti-American, anti-constitutional, anti-freedom thoughts and ideas. The idea out there today is to be politically correct. It doesn't matter if it's right or true or historically accurate, but just, let's not offend anybody whatsoever. And the thought is that we the people, the thought by these controlling, dominating factors is that we the people can just sit down and be quiet. And they don't want to hear from us. And I have seen several examples of the Tea Party, and the Tea Party influence in America is at least recognized now by the mainstream media. And even in this last election, the influence of the Tea Party movement has been felt by the voters. But the disdain that the higher-ups, the elites in our government and in the media have shown towards the Tea Party people are just, it's just amazing. And they called the Tea Party, and that's based on the Boston Tea Party and the casting of the tea into the river there. But the things that were, that the Tea Party people were called by the media was just something I can't even mention. But it was, they were referred to as a lewd homosexual act by government officials, by people in the media, people in the entertainment industry, and on we could go this morning. But the fourth one, and I've got to move on. The fourth one is we have elected some of the most undesirable persons to high office. This is another reason why freedom is on the slide, we might say. This is from the Federalist Papers, number 28, which was authored by Alexander Hamilton. And he said, "Effective resistance to usurpers is possible only provided the citizens understand their rights and are disposed to defend them. Effective resistance to usurpers is possible only provided the citizens, that's you and I, understand their rights and are disposed to defend them." But we have elected some of the most undesirable persons to high office. Many of the people in office today are not a friend of liberty. They're not a friend of the Constitution. They're not a friend of America in general, although they maybe are citizens, but they're not a friend to the things that I'm talking about. Getting back to the Constitution, small government, and we could give, probably if we had time today, we could probably give 100 examples and more if we had time of government officials that are under investigation. They have criminal backgrounds. They have been involved in sexual scandals. They've had DUIs. They've been involved with under-the-table dealings and backroom deals and all this stuff. And our founding forefathers even, and we'll get into this later on, they taught that if it just became about money, that you would have the most undesirable people get involved in the government process. And it is today, by and large, just much about money and how much a elected official can get from the government to their state, to their district, to their county, and all of these things. And so there is a multitude of undesirables in office, and it's not working just to get upset every couple of years and say vote the bums out if you just vote more bums in. There's a shortage of quality people that run for office. And so we've elected some of the most undesirable persons to high office. We could give many examples of that. And last of all, last reason that we're losing our liberties in America today is that we have evicted Providence, and that's with a capital P, and talking about God Almighty. We have evicted Providence from our councils, schools, courts, and assemblies. And this is from a letter by John Quincy Adams, who was Secretary of State. This was given at a celebration for July 4th, 1821. And he said this. He said, from the day of the Declaration, talking about the Declaration of Independence, he said, they, talking about the American people, were bound by the laws of God, which they all, and by the laws of the gospel, which they nearly all acknowledged as the rules of their conduct. That's amazing for John Quincy Adams to make that statement, that the American people were bound by the laws of God, which they all, he said, and by the laws of the gospel, which they nearly all acknowledged as the rules of their conduct. So the overwhelming sentiment in early America was that they were bound by the laws of God, that they were here by the hand of Providence with a capital P, that the Creator of heaven and earth had placed them here, had given them this country, this opportunity, this freedom, and they acknowledged it. They nearly all acknowledged the laws of the gospel. It was an overwhelming majority. It would have never offended in that day and time to have said Merry Christmas to somebody, or to have a Christmas tree or a nativity scene at the courthouse or in the public sector, or for the traditional Christmas songs, which are about Jesus Christ, to be sung in the public sector. But now, look what a mess we're in our country, where I seen the other day that a bank, Chase Bank, it was in the state of Texas that this took place, they sent to a local branch and they told them to take down their Christmas tree. It wasn't provided by the company. And you just have stuff like that all the time. We see that the Bible has been taken out of the school, prayer time, Ten Commandments, definitely not in school, but certainly not in courthouses and places where they've been for now close to 200 years. In some of these places, it's being contested. I've talked quite a bit about the Christian flag controversy down in King, North Carolina. The ACLU comes along and says, you know, one person complained, take it down. And now, and the whole town, and this has gone on now for months and months, the town overwhelmingly wants the Christian flag there at the Veterans Memorial. But because of one person, because of one group, the ACLU, which I've got another name for besides American Civil Liberties Union, I call it the Anti-Christian Liberties Union. But anyway, we have this all the time, kicking God out of, erasing the memory of God from the public square, from the public debate. But from the beginning, God's hand has been in our nation. And if we forget these things, we will more and more lose and lose and lose our liberties. And so the present application is this in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1, where the Bible said over there, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We are already back to the days where the reasons that the early Americans separated from King George and from Britain, we're under the same bondage. We have become entangled again with the yoke of government bondage, with the yoke of excessive taxation, with the yoke of government telling and directing us how to live our lives, what to do, where to turn, where to buy our stuff, you know, on and on and on. And everywhere you turn, here's the heavy hand of government. We have become entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So the present application, I would say in closing today, what we need to do is everywhere we see freedom, we need to fight for freedom. We need to be aware of the freedoms that we do have. And we need to make sure that we stand up for those freedoms and that we do not just, you know, oh, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter if you go to the airport and, you know, you're either molested by a TSA agent or you're radiated and that's the only choice that you have. Oh, you know, under the entrance of safety, everybody ought to do that and not say anything about it. Oh, if you're pulled over, you're probably being suspicious anyway. And unjust search, unjust seizure, all these things. We need to be aware of the freedoms that we have, and we need to fight for them. Our time is just about up for today, but I want to say I appreciate you listening in to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and we'll be delving into this a little bit more, but everybody be careful out there traveling around, and have a good day, and tune in next week. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Wynn. This is WATA Boone.